behavior and misconceptions about what God's Word teaches. And as he draws that to a close here toward the end of the 16th chapter, he makes this statement that we've taken for our text: "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity." What the Apostle Paul does in these few verses is lays out for us a pattern for our Christian growth and Christian service, that if we will do these things, we will be much more likely to be faithful all of our lives and even unto death. But you know, sometimes we have a hard time of that because we get the idea that just because we have become a Christian and obeyed the gospel that everything's all right, that there won't be any responsibilities that we'll need to take care of, and that we, because of that, we really don't have to worry about our soul salvation. But Jesus gives us a completely different paradigm of thought whenever he teaches us, as we read in Luke the 17th chapter, that you and I are servants. In our modern society and in the culture that we've all grown up in, this idea of being a servant is something that's very foreign to us. We sometimes even go so far as to get the idea that God is just our friend. He's just our companion. We can talk to him just like we would one of our companions. We can hold him in just about as much esteem as we do some of our best friends. And that's simply not the case at all. Whenever you and I are thinking or speaking or contemplating about God Almighty in heaven above, we need to remind ourselves that he is the one who simply, by a thought process, by his will, created this entire universe through Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we understand that he has all power and all knowledge and all wisdom. He goes with us everywhere that we go. There's no place where we can hide from him, and certainly no place where we can escape our responsibilities. But whenever we stop and realize what we actually do in our Christian living sometimes, it's very marginal, very small. And so for just a little while this morning, I want to look at these five commandments or duties that the Apostle Paul gives that Christians can live by. And the first one is watch. You know, whenever we stop and think about watch, sometimes we get the idea that we're talking about being just some sort of a spectator, maybe sitting on the sidelines watching an athletic contest, or sitting at home watching some kind of television program, or even sometimes sitting at home and just watching the beauties of nature. But I think the Apostle Paul gives a greater and much more important meaning whenever he says watch. Whenever he's talking about watching here, he's talking about being vigilant, being on watch. And so whenever we stop and think about some times in our lives, whenever we certainly are aware of that, whenever we carry our children out, and whenever they are playing out in the yard, we make sure that we watch them to make sure that nothing bad happens. Whenever we are driving down the highway, we make sure that we watch the traffic, that we are aware of what's going on around us, so that we can drive as defensively as possible. And so whenever the Apostle Paul is talking about watching here, he has the same idea in mind. The first time that I think, one of the first ways that you and I can pay attention to this commandment is whenever we stop and think about our responsibilities one to another. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, here the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you." What the apostle is talking about here is that whenever you and I consider our church family, whenever we consider the church relationship or the relationship we have with the members of our church family, there are certainly some that are given the responsibility to be overseers of that. We know that in God's plan, we should have in our congregations elders, and then followed by that deacons, and then also ministers and teachers. Sometimes we don't find those certain elements in congregations. We find that there are those that are working toward that. But certainly in every congregation, there is someone there that is a leader, that is the predominant leader, and they have a very grave responsibility. They have a responsibility to watch over your and my souls, watch over our lives, watch over our deeds and the things that we say. To watch over us and to admonish us whenever we begin to slip to the left or to the right. But you know, sometimes we find that not only is it a difficult proposition for someone to take the responsibility to watch after us, sometimes we find that we complicate that even more by our unwillingness to submit to them and our unwillingness to hear their advice and to recognize their authority that's given by God. We sometimes kind of get the idea, well, it's none of anybody's business what I do. Well, it's none of anybody's business where I go or what I say or what I wear or the things that I involve myself in. And that may very well be true in our general society. But in the church, we find that it is something that others should be interested in. It is something that others should admonish us about. It is something that we need to submit ourselves to others about. And the reason is because we all want to make heaven our home. We all want to live a life that would be pleasing and acceptable to God Almighty, so that on that last and final day, we can hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And so one of the responsibilities in watching is that we watch after each other. Not only that, though, we find that we should always be watching how we conduct our own lives and how that we behave ourselves. It would be quite deficient if we only had somebody else watching us and we weren't aware of our responsibilities ourselves. Have you ever noticed people that sometimes whenever they're on vacation, whenever they're away from others, their behavior is quite different? The things they say and the places they go and the other activities they engage in are just different. They're not as strict on their lives as they are whenever they're around people that they are watching. Well, we need to recognize that and make sure that we don't fall prey to that. In fact, in Mark chapter 13, verse 35 to 37, here the evangelist says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest something suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." We need to watch our lives every day. You know, whenever I was a younger man, I didn't really give that as much thought, I guess. Maybe didn't contemplate on that as much as I do now. You know, I was enjoying life. I look forward to the next day, and I still do that. But you know, as we get older, we become to be more aware of the definite time limits that we have, of the finality of life and all of those things. And so I think that we can grow into watching ourselves much more closely than we did before, because we realize that God is watching, that we are responsible for our behavior, we are responsible for the things that we say, and even the thoughts that we have. And so once again, we find this great commandment, watch. But you know, there's another time that we need to watch and be very careful to watch, and that is in finding opportunities to teach others and finding opportunities to do good works. You know, a lot of times we stop and look back on our life for the last month, for the last 6 months, for the last year, and we try to start enumerating things that we've done in our service to God. And if we have not been watchful enough, well, we come up pretty short on that. We start to think about all the time we spent in our own self-gratifying activities, and the things that we actually did in service to God sometimes are kind of small. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus said, "Say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Wherefore I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest." There are people that need our help. There are people that are looking for the truth. There are people that you and I can simply show some love and some concern for. But we have to be watching for those opportunities. We have to pay attention to those things that are going on around us and realize that we have a responsibility to others and we have a responsibility to God. It becomes all the more important to look for opportunities to serve Him. You know, also something that we need to be very careful of is to be watchful for false teachers. You know, it's easy sometimes to think that we live in an age whenever people are not interested about causing damage to the church. People are not interested anymore in breaking the church up. You know, it's easy to be complacent about that. We've recently at home had that brought very clearly to us. There was a young man from the Digressive Church who had gotten off on this AD 40 deal that goes around every so often. It's been around a couple of times in my lifetime. And he just showed up one night at one of our services. And so I went back to talk to him after services were over, and he wanted to introduce me to that. Now, they wouldn't have had anything at all to do with us at any other time, except for the fact that he wanted to introduce his new doctrine and see if we would buy into that, see if we'd buy that. Well, you know, whenever you stop and think about things like that, we're all intrigued by something new. We're all intrigued by something we haven't heard before. And it might get very easy for us to lend an ear to that, especially if we didn't know what the truth really taught and if we didn't know some of the principles in the Bible regarding second coming of the Lord. And so we need to watch and be careful, not just about that, but about all opportunities that others have to divert our attention from the truth and to teach something that's false. We need to watch for our children because they are sometimes out of our sight and sometimes out of our direct supervision, so that they too can be aware and that they can know how important it is to remain faithful and remain truthful. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, here Jesus says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Also, we need to understand that there are people that are teaching things very subtle, very interesting. They are charismatic in their presentation, and they're teaching something that'd be very detrimental to our souls and could even cost us our home in heaven. We need to be very careful to watch our temperament and to watch our speech. You know, it's easy sometimes, kind of the old saying, when in Rome, do like the Romans do. But it's easy sometimes to lose our temper, easy sometimes to say things that we later wish we hadn't said, even engage in activities that wish we hadn't. But certainly you and I can recognize the importance of watching to make sure that we don't fall into those temptations and those trials. Well, the Apostle Paul said, watch. But after that, he said, stand fast in the faith. You know, it's a terrible thing to see someone who has obeyed the gospel, who has dedicated their life to Christ, just simply call it quits, just simply leave the church, just simply give up on their faith. Oftentimes, you know, I wonder, how do you just do that? And certainly we recognize it's not something that takes place overnight. It's not something that takes place just one morning whenever you get up and decide, well, I don't want to go to worship this morning. But it's something that takes place over a gradual period of time. And so one of the best defenses that we will ever find if we are going to stand fast in the faith is that if we begin to prepare ourselves and educate ourselves so that we can withstand the temptations and the trials of the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, the apostle says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this whole armor of God that he's talking about are some things that you and I need to be involved in, some things that you and I need to pay attention to, some things that you and I need to make sure that we add to our lives. Now, if we add this whole armor to our lives, and if we begin to add the qualities to our life that are simply set aside here, we'll find that that's a lifelong endeavor. It's not just something that we get through with in a hurry. In Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with about verse 12, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on your breastplate of righteousness, and on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You can see then that to take these elements, to take these weapons against sin and against temptation, would require quite a bit of growth, and it would require some time for us to add those to our lives, but oh, how important it is. You know, whenever we stop and think about young Christians, there are so many things that can draw them away, so many temptations and so many different activities in the world. It's important that we engage in something, that we are a part of something, and that we have a work and a goal to show how far that we've gone in that. And so whenever we stop and think about this, this armor of God, it will give us the preparation and give us the defenses against all of the tricks and all of the little opportunities that the devil gives us to fall away and to sin against him. But you know, we can't have that. We can't have that whole armor of God without knowing what God's word says. You know, we find that whenever we stop and think about one of the most important things that we add to our faith is the knowledge of God's word. But you know, it's easy sometimes whenever there are television shows we like to watch, Maybe we've had a rough day at work and we just really don't feel too good. We just want to sit back and take a load off our feet and rest a little while. Maybe we have some things with our job or with our business or maybe with our family that are really bothering us, that are clogging up our mind. And it's real easy just to lay our Bible aside and address all those matters. Whenever, in fact, if we were to take our Bible and read it and study it, it would address the matters that are giving us the most problems. It would address the matters that are giving us the most difficulties in life. It would help us to have the whole armor of God so that we could there sustain and be able to withstand the problems that we're dealing with. It's so sad then that we don't do that and that we fail in that manner to stay and stand for the truth or stand in our faith. You know, right along with that, he says that we should be brave. And you know, whenever I stop and think about here where the apostle has in mind, I think, being brave as in battle, being brave as in facing the odds of the world, we really don't understand that because we've never experienced that. If we have, it was to such a small degree that it would be minuscule compared to what the first century Christians stood against. Whenever the laws were in favor of extinguishing Christianity, and not only extinguishing Christianity, but extinguishing Christians, can you imagine what it would be like to have someone come to your door? You know, as much as we love our children, as much as we cherish their life and their health and their safety, someone come to your door, and whenever you answer, they ask you the question, are you a Christian? Well, yes, I'm a Christian. They just reach out there with a big hook or something and snatch a part of your baby's body away. Or they there begin to torture your child. They take your child, and as was actually done in those times, dress them up in a lambskin and turn the little toddlers loose and turn the dogs loose on them. Things that are so horrendous and so terrible that you and I cannot even begin to imagine it. And so there's a time when you have to be brave. There's a time whenever you have to stand for the truth no matter the consequences. There's a time whenever bravery is about all that will get you through. Can you imagine also what it would have been like to stand on the forefront of a battle and there's an army across from you? And you know that very soon that you're going to clash with that army, and there they're going to be swinging swords and spears, and they're going to be archers that are shooting arrows, and you've got to go and stand in the midst of that, and not only stand and be faithful to the king, be faithful to your leaders. Oh, that takes some more kind of bravery, wouldn't it? And so it's kind of ironic that sometimes you and I consider ourselves to be such strong Christians. We consider ourselves to be well prepared with the armor of the gospel that we feel like we could stand against any of the wiles of the devil, and certainly the smallest things come along and cause us to be shipwrecked and to turn in defeat and in retreat. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, here again the apostle says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, but that we are carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning, craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If you're not growing in Christ today, and if your faith and if your activities and your service and your duty is not growing, if you lack the bravery that you need to stand up and courageously proclaim to a world that you are a Christian and that you will always be a Christian, if you lack the courage and if you lack the commitment to stand up even in the sight of losing a job or losing a favor with someone that you care about or losing the respect of others that falsely claim that they respect you, if you're not willing to be brave and do that, then you need to really work on it. Because without being brave and without watching, without standing for the faith, you and I simply won't last very long at all. Right along with that, he tells us that we need to be strong. And of course, we know that to be brave and to be strong are, in one sense of the word, two different things, but also they're very much connected. They're very much something that you and I need to understand and add to our lives. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, here the ancient prophet says, be strong and of good courage, for unto you this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You know, when we stop and think about being strong, that's something that sometimes we find a little bit distasteful. You know, some of the people, or I know some people, as you do too, that are very well versed in the Bible. You can ask them about any Bible question in a time of quietness, in a time whenever there's no turmoil going on. They can tell you what the Bible says about almost anything. But they lack the courage to stand up and be heard. They lack the courage and they lack the commitment to stand up whenever there's trouble at hand and say those things that need to be said. Well, here we find that Joshua has a very different idea of that. He says, we're going in to take this land. God has already promised it to us. He's already given it to us. But we've got to go in and take it. We've got to be strong, knowing that he will be faithful to his word if we're faithful to our commitment to serve him. And, of course, we can see that that's exactly what happened. You know, every Christian needs to be strong. Whenever someone questions you about your faith, you need to not only know the questions, or not only know the answers for the hope that lie within you, you need to be courageous enough to stand up and tell people what the truth is. You need to be courageous enough to stand up and tell them where error lies. You need to know the truth and be courageous and present the truth with everything that you do. You know, we find that whenever we are today looking at different avenues to preach and teach the gospel, we stand in a big need of strong preachers. You know, you can go to a gospel meeting in some places now with a particular preacher. You could go every night of the week and still wouldn't know whether you were in the right or in the wrong. You wouldn't know any specific sins that you might be guilty of or that you need to be watching for. We, even though we've always preached against it, and even though we've always said that we were going to preach the truth, and we're going to preach it just like the Bible said, there are a lot of places and a lot of times today where we're just not doing that. We still say we are, but we're just not doing that. And so whenever we stop and think about that, what's the reason for it? Well, preachers sometimes won't be popular. Preachers sometimes won't be invited back. Preachers, whenever they go out of town, they want to make a good impression rather than doing what God would have them to do and preach about right and wrong and be strong in their commitment and strong in their presentation and strong in their preaching so that others can benefit from that. You know, we find this also in the case of many congregations, and we find that there are many congregations today where young people start to turn to the left and to the right, as the verse says. And the leaders of the church are not courageous enough, not strong enough to step up and say to their parents, this is something we need to talk about. This is something you need to consider. This is something that as the church, we just don't stand for. We'll sometimes get out and talk to our other brothers and sisters in Christ, and we'll say, you know, so-and-so's daughters, they're just dressing completely too immodest. So-and-so, I saw him hanging with some people, his son was hanging with some people he really didn't need to hang with. It's going to cause them problems. It's going to be something that they're going to have to answer for. But you know, we need to go and talk to them. We need to go and explain to them that we love them, that we care for them, that we want their best and we have their best interest in mind, and be strong enough to love people the way that we should. Sitting back and saying nothing and doing nothing usually results in nothing. Nothing but problems and nothing but trouble and nothing but heartache, not only for the church, but for the families that are involved and for individuals that are involved. You know, whenever we stop and think about that, again, learning God's word and knowing how to use God's word so that we're not just talking about opinions is of paramount importance. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 through 14, here the writer says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We learn good from what the Bible teaches us, and we learn what evil is from what the Bible teaches us. And if we don't know what the Bible says, then we are very much in trouble as far as pleasing God. Well, he said that first off, we need to, as we're going to start to serve God, we need to watch. And then he says, after we need to watch, we need to stand for the faith, that we need to be brave, and that we need to be strong. And then finally, in his this lesson that Paul wrote so long ago, we find that he says to do everything with love. Now, that's a hard thing sometimes. You know, whenever we stop and think about going and talking to someone about a potential problem, or whenever we talk to someone about a problem in their life, or whenever we go talk to them about a problem in our life, it's very easy whenever our feelings are out on our sleeve, and whenever it's a very sensitive matter, especially, it's hard to talk to people and exhibit the love that we should for them. But you know, love is a major theme in the Bible. In fact, it's the only thing that some people see. You ask them about God, and they say, well, God is love. You ask them, well, what does Jesus have to say? Well, Jesus is love. In fact, I had a fellow tell me here a while back, we were talking about things that were just wrong. And he says, well, I believe that Jesus' grace and God's grace will just cover all of that. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. God does have love for mankind. Jesus has love for mankind as exhibited in his death on the cross. And God sent him here to die for our sins. But in that love, we also find some restrictions and some commands, and we find some of the most pointed preaching that you'll ever come across whenever we see some of the things that Jesus had said. But still, we need to work toward having love in our life. Otherwise, our whole endeavor in Christian living comes to naught. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3, here the apostle writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If you and I are going to be children of God, if we're going to serve God in the way that would be pleasing to Him, we're going to have to love for people. And we hear it said, told, and also maybe explained in so many different ways, well, we need to love the sinner but not the sin. And that seems kind of like a cliche or maybe just some idle saying, but that's the truth of the matter. If we don't have the love and the concern in our heart, we can't really do what God would have us to do. And if we could muster up the courage and the ability to do that, it wouldn't please Him at all, because He wants us to become like Him, and He wants us to become like His Son Jesus, so that each and every day we can have more love in our heart, so that we can there exemplify God's love toward mankind. You know, we find that because of this lack of love for Jesus, it causes people difficulties in their Christian living. If we see the Bible and if we see the commandments of Christian living simply as ordinances that we keep, we really don't have to have any incentive to keep them, it's a very hard thing to do. But Jesus says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know that one saying ought to seal the deal for every controversy we have in the Bible? I was talking to some folks the other day, and they said, well, you know, we really don't have to observe the Lord's Supper, all of it, on the first day of the week. They were complaining that it was all right to take what's left over from the Lord's table and put it in a little room. And then if you had to work on Sunday, you could just come by sometime during the day and graze on that and move on. And so whenever we stop and think about that, you know, that is something that simply came up by man's logic. But if we read what John has or Jesus has to say here, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do just exactly what I said. There won't be any controversy on how to set the table. There won't be any controversy on how to conduct the worship service. There won't be any problems that we can't find an answer to when it comes to how to raise our families, how to live our lives. Whenever it comes to the steps to obey the gospel. If you love Jesus, then you will keep His commandments, and that will be your primary objective in life, keeping His commandments, and in so doing, you will be pleasing to Him and to the Father, and to make heaven your home. You know, and when we stop and think about some of the problems that we come up on, it's simply many times because we don't have the love in our heart that would help us to overcome some of the difficult situations that we encounter. So this morning, we need to understand that to love God is to do His commandments with a love toward Him and toward all mankind. In conclusion, let's read what Paul says one more time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, which ye like men, be strong, and let all your things be done in charity. You know, of course, we understand that the only way to salvation we first obey the gospel. The Bible teaches us to obey the gospel and become a Christian, so that we have a duty toward God. We first hear the word of God taught, believe with all of our heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of our sins, and confess publicly our belief in Jesus as the Christ, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here this morning and you've not done that, this invitation song is just for you. If you have done that and you've let your life slip astray so that you may have need of public confession of fault, we'll assist you in either case while we stand and sing.